Well, it's a good start, isn't it? Welcome, everybody, on the sixth Sunday of Easter. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. God of hope, thank you for the hope given in Jesus. Thank you for the hope inspired by the Spirit. Thank you for the hope shared when your people gather. Amen. You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Lord God, sometimes we hold faith and hope to ourselves. We act as if faith is something private, to be held close, frightened to share it with others. Forgive us, Lord, and may hope replace fear. We fail to notice the people suffering around us, desperate for your love in their lives. We ignored their pain, too busy with our own concerns. Forgive us, Lord, and may hope replace fear. We forget that a sorrow shared is a sorrow halved. We ignore those who are ready to support us, scared to let them help us in our difficulties. Forgive us, Lord, and may hope replace fear. Amen. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Today, as we are truly penitent before him, he brings us to God the Father, who forgives us. He renews us in his all-encompassing love. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now we have our first reading.
Our first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning, our verses from Psalm 66. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer nor withheld his love from me. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And we have our gospel reading.
Our gospel reading is from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, what are you hoping for? That's a question often asked at the beginning of a new year, a new season of life, or a new experience. We might look ahead and ponder what we are hoping is going to happen. This is often about our expectations for external situations. I'm hoping my team wins. I'm hoping this job will be good for my career. I'm hoping for some sunshine. But Peter is talking to the early church about an internal hope, something already deposited in them, which will give them the strength to keep going. There is no promise that external circumstances will change in the immediate future, but there is a promise that God's eternal hope, available through the saving work of Jesus, is already with them and can help them at this difficult time. In the Channel 4 series alone, contestants are dropped miles apart from each other into the Canadian wilderness to see who can survive the longest. Some drop out due to physical circumstances, such as injury or ill health, but for most, the will to survive is about their mental perseverance. After several weeks, living off wild berries and fish, sleeping in shelters made from branches, and listening to bears stalk around them in the middle of the night, most of the contestants hit a low point. At this juncture, many of them choose to leave the competition, often because they miss people they love and struggle to know how to continue completely alone. However, a few who keep going often do so because they are spurred on by the thought of their family and friends back home. They want to make them proud. They want to show them that they can persevere and overcome the challenge. They want to be a stronger person when they return to those relationships. The harsh reality of the external environment they are in doesn't change, but their internal focus is strengthened. This is the encouragement that Peter offers to the church. Although circumstances for the early church were incredibly tough, focusing on Christ's authority allows those Christians to have hope and also to practice respect for those who persecute them. A reminder of who God is and what God has put within them brings a change in how they can deal with the world around them. In our gospel passage from John, Jesus' disciples are also feeling puzzled and confused and hopeless. Jesus has told them that he is leaving them, but he assures them that he is not abandoning them as orphans. The Father will send them the Holy Spirit, who will never leave them. This is good news. Twice in this passage, Jesus tells his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. According to Jesus' teaching, love and obedience go hand in hand. They're inseparable. So what are Jesus' commandments? In the chapter today, before today's gospel, Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In fact, this commandment is the only recorded commandment in John's gospel. In other words, everything we say and do as believers in Jesus Christ comes down to this: prayer, evangelism, repentance, generosity, telling the truth, giving, serving, feeding, sharing, all of it in the end comes down to love. The essential question is this: do we love one another as Jesus has loved us, or do we not? New Testament scholar D.A. Carson said, "This new command is simple enough for a toddler to memorize and appreciate, and yet it is profound enough that the most mature believers are repeatedly embarrassed at how poorly they comprehend it and put it into practice." It may be a simple command, but to love as Jesus does is a challenge. To love means taking a risk and being prepared to be vulnerable. And half the time, I'd rather not be vulnerable. Love requires trust, and that can be difficult. Love spills over margins and boundaries. Love takes time. It takes effort. It's disciplined, and it requires transformation. And it's so time-consuming. And after all, I'm so busy. Sadly, Jesus didn't say, "Here you are, chaps, I've got an idea, but it's just a suggestion." He said, "This is my commandment," meaning it's not a choice. It's not a matter of personal preference. It's a matter of obedience to the one we call our Lord. Jesus is commanding us to love other people, whether we want to or not, whether we like them or not, and we are not used to thinking about love in terms of obedience to a command. Can we be ordered to love? Surely not. That doesn't feel right. We tend to think of love as spontaneous. After all, we fall in love. Love is blind. It happens at first sight. It breaks our hearts. Its course never runs smooth, etc., etc. Real love, many of us might say, has nothing to do with calculated obedience. Real love is an emotion, a feeling. Those of us who've had anything to do with children well understand that commanding our bickering and sometimes revolting children to love each other doesn't work. The most we can do is insist that our children behave as if they loved each other. Share your toys, say sorry, don't hit, use kind words. You know the sort of thing. It sounds like Jesus is asking for the impossible. But those actions, often performed with through gritted teeth and rolling eyes, are not what John is talking about in his gospel. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Love for real. Can we imagine what would happen to us, to the church, and to the world if we took Jesus' command seriously? Do I know how to love as Jesus loved? To feel a depth of compassion that is gut-wrenching. To experience a hunger for justice so fierce and so urgent that I rearrange my life in order to pursue it. To empathize until my heart breaks. To love the unlovely, the people I don't like very much, and with whom I have nothing in common. And here's the challenge for me. Do I want to? Jesus' words in this gospel are crystal clear. It is not sufficient or even meaningful to profess love for Jesus while we hold ourselves apart from our fellow human beings. To love Jesus is to love others, all others, the lover, the friend, the neighbour, the companion, but also the alien, the stranger, the misfit, and the enemy, the ones with whom we agree and the ones with whom we categorically disagree, the ones we naturally like and the ones we don't. However, and this is a big relief to me, we don't have to love all by ourselves. We don't have to do the impossible on our own. Jesus' desire is not that we wear ourselves out trying to conjure up love from our own meagre resources. Rather, his commandment is accompanied by a promise. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. The advocate is God's own spirit, God's own heart living within us. This spirit, Jesus promises us, will be in us, making obedience possible, which is love. The spirit will abide within and among us, creating holy places where authentic, self-sacrificial human love can take root and flourish. The Spirit's resources are inexhaustible. Long after our natural stores are depleted, the Spirit of God will love in, among, and through us. As is so often the case in our lives as Christians, Jesus' commandment leads us straight to a paradox. We are called to give the love we receive. We're called to become the beloved children we are. The commandment, or better still, the invitation, is to drink our fill of God's love, spill over to bless the world, and then return to drink again for a fresh infilling. This is our movement. This is our rhythm. This is our heavenly, holy dance. Over and over and over again. This is where we begin and end and begin again. Love me by keeping my commandments, Jesus said. These are not two separate actions. They are one and the same. We love because we are loved. We obey Jesus Christ because we are in Jesus Christ. The love we are commanded to share is the love that we are endlessly, endlessly given, and it can never run out. You are in me, and I am in you, says Jesus. Abiding in Jesus is the definition of love. Amen.
And now we move to our prayers. God of hope and comfort, as we look on the brokenness of our world and on our own fears and dreams for the future, we pray for trust in your provision for us. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord. And we say together, give
Give us
us
your
your
peace.
peace. God of hope and comfort, as members of Jewish communities live in fear for their lives and prejudice and hatred have taken root in public discourse, we pray for calm and also for courage in standing up to hatred and rejecting violence, and for measured speech that inspires unity rather than division. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord.
Give
Give
us
us your
your
peace.
peace.
God of hope and comfort, as war destroys life and hope in many countries of our troubled world, we pray for journalists who seek to bring the truth into our living rooms, for protection from harm as they seek out danger to expose its causes, and for courage in speaking truth to power in spite of the cost. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord. Give
Give
us
us your peace.
God of hope and comfort, as strikes continue in southern Lebanon, in spite of the ceasefire, and people in Gaza weep among the mountains of rubble and flattened homes, we pray for determination to bring an end to these conflicts, and for hope to flourish where everything seems to be destroyed. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord. Give
Give us
us your
your
peace.
peace.
God of hope and comfort, as tensions mount in the Strait of Hormuz, ships and their crews and cargo are stranded, and Iran and the United States issue increasingly violent threats. We pray for a plan of peace and for wisdom to guide what happens next. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord. Give
Give us
us your
your
peace.
peace.
As we struggle, as we love to struggle with illness, as sorry, I'm going to start that again. As those we love struggle with illness, pain, or any kind of loss, we pray for your love to surround them and all who care for them. And we pray especially this morning for the sick. Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Brian, Margaret T, Nigel, Audrey, John P, John L, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, Mary and Jemima. And we pray for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we think especially of the family of friends who those who have recently died, Herbert Smith and Brian Wedlake. We pray for all who work in medical and social care settings, and from paramedics and district nurses and ask that you would give them strength for today's challenges. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord.
Give
us
your
peace. God of hope and comfort, as we try to live faithfully for you in this community, we pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit to surround us and lead us in the footsteps of your Son. Hear our cry. Come close to us and help us, O Lord.
Give us your
peace.
peace.
My peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Trouble not your hearts. My peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Be not afraid. Amen.
Amen.
And the collect for the sixth Sunday of Easter. Risen Christ, by the lakeside you renewed your call to your disciples. Help your church to obey your command and draw the nations to the fire of your love, to the glory of God the Father.
Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you. Remain with you and those you love and pray for, this day and always. Amen. When we are troubled, God is our hope. When our faith is challenged, God is our hope. When life is tough, God is our hope. Let us go share God's love in the world, because God is our hope. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Sue, very much. Just a couple of reminders that I've got an Ascension Day service at Loxbier on Thursday. That's at 6:30. And then every evening I'll be doing Compline on Zoom for the 10 days of Thy Kingdom Come, apart from on Tuesday the 19th. So if you would like to join me with that, then use the login details for this service, and hopefully I will appear at 6:30 when I've got all my alarms on for hope, and hopefully you've had the order of service for that.
Yes,
so that would be good to see you. Anyway, love to you all.
Thank you.
Bless
you,
you
too.
And
thank you.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very special.
Bye.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah. God bless. And
you.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Bye.